It's another week of This Week in Google Glass. My name is Jeffrey Powers. We've got a great one for you. We're going to be talking about surgeons using glass. I take a Ford Mustang on the road. And, of course, we're talking about companies that are also cashing in on Google Glass. And we'll do that next. It's This Week in Google Glass. Hey, everybody. Jeffrey Powers from Geekazine. Think Magazine. Put in a geek. You've got Geekazine. And, of course, This Week in Google Glass over at thisweekinggoogleglass.com, or the shorter version being twig.tv, TWIGG.TV. You can find me on my Twitter handle at Geekazine or Jeff at twig.tv. And, of course, as always, well, with the exception of last week, this week I do have him back, Mr. Luke Wallace. How you doing, Luke? You got a different look there. What's going on?
So, yeah, I'm out of prison now, and back in my house, I am got one of those little shock collar things on the ankle bracelet, but you know, it's good to be out, good to be back. So good to see you again. And yeah, you can reach me at Luke Luca on Twitter. Just kidding about all the incarceration.
Are you really?
Yes.
Yeah. I had a friend actually say, what's with Luke? Is he in prison or something like that? It looks like he's in a prison wall. So I was like, I don't know. It's possible, you know, that he's down in Texas and they might put everybody in jail. I don't know.
Yeah. They throw you in jail for anything.
So we're still having the video issues. Really quick, just so you know, the frame rate's probably going to look a little bit bad too, because what's going on is, I use Wirecast to record this show. And of course, I use it on my MacBook Pro, which I had to update to Mavericks, and apparently, well, it doesn't like Mavericks. So what I had to do was I actually had to create another version of Mac onto an external drive, a Mountain Lion on the external drive, going through the FireWire. So I'm probably not firing on all cylinders on this MacBook Pro right now, and therefore you're probably seeing a little bit choppier. I apologize for that. Hopefully they're going to get that all fixed. And then, of course, the new version of Wirecast is supposed to be really nice and slim and streamlined and everything like that. But I've got to wait until I have enough money to do that. So, but anyway, enough about that. Thank you very much for coming to the show. Of course, last week I had a very short show. I did it from the Ritz-Carlton at Dove Mountain in Tucson, Arizona, as I announced the winners of the people that wanted to get glass themselves. And of course, if you want to see that, you can see that all over at thisweekinggoogleglass.com. Let me pull up the page here really quick. This Week in Google Glass, and of course, the winners, Chase, Jeff, and Noah. And I believe Jeff and Noah actually have their Google Glass already. I'm not 100% sure. And Noah has already said that he'll be on the show. So we will have future episodes with these guys on, which I'm really happy on, and go from there. Like I said, I was at the Ritz-Carlton in Dove Mountain in Tucson, Arizona. Awesome place. And I'm gonna pop up the slideshow here really quick. I was there for a thing called Techonomy 2013. Lots of information, lots of big thinkers. And I got to meet a few industry professionals. And so people from Google, from Microsoft, from just different places. We had some great food and we had some great times, and I got to hear a lot of cool ideas, such as how wearable technology, and they talked a lot about it. And by the way, that's not a selfie. That's every time you see a picture of me, I'm just standing there. I've given my pair of Google Glass to somebody and they've taken a picture. So they take a picture of themselves. And so I guess it's kind of like a selfie, right? Maybe?
No, you didn't take it. So,
yeah, but I'm showing them how to use Google Glass. So that's got to be some sort of selfie. I don't know.
I don't know what you call that. Yeah, I have a lot of those, too, when you're demoing it and people take a picture and they end up getting a picture of me. So I always pose real quick when they.
do that again. Oh, nice.
I just throw up a double thumbs up anytime they say it to that, because I know I'm going to be in the picture, so I might as well have a few pictures of that. So.
I'm going to show them really quick. Okay, so this is what happens. I'm going to zoom in my camera. Luke, you won't be able to see this, but okay, so when I talk to people, I say, basically they put on the pair of Google Glass, and then I say, tap right here, and they end up tapping up here, like this is a button or something like that, but then they finally tap right here, and then they see the actual time, and I say, you'll see the time in two magic words. And they'll go, well, what? And then they'll tap again and go, what? That says something different. But, you know, but then they'll see the two words and they'll say, okay, glass. And then I'll say, well, what does the first thing say? And they go, and I say, does it say take a picture? And then all of a sudden it takes a picture. And it's really funny how that works. But I don't know. It's a great way to show people. I better zoom back out. It's a great way to show people how it works, but you know, it's a little bit lanky, a little bit bulky, from time to time. So, do you have any cool stories, showing off your Google Glass, somebody doing something that you didn't expect?
Ooh, not really. Most of the time people just start thinking out loud. And so they start reading all the stuff and they're saying, oh, it says, okay, glass. Oh, that just made it do something. Let's see. Take a picture. Oh, it took a picture. Oh, like, and that's like, I've had that conversation probably, you know, a couple dozen times with people. So
that reminds me of the old phone support days, because they'll just instinctively start reading everything to you.
Yeah. Yeah. They're trying to like, let you know what they see, even though, you know, you and I both know kind of what it looks like. And so it's like, no, I know what it says. It's fine. Like,
it's all good.
And yeah, they start reading it off so that you can tell what they're looking at. So,
yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, it's pretty common.
Yeah, so. It's all good. You know, totally understand on that. So I do the same thing when I call tech support. It's kind of like my revenge on tech support. So
you start reading the entire thing.
Yeah.
It says file, edit, view, history. That's the bar up at the top. No.
Yeah. Yeah. What's this thing? No, that's something different. No. What? Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into this week in Google Glass. Let's get into the content this week. And we're going to start simply going over to Google's homepage. Now, of course, they gave away the Explorer pair, and right after the day what was that?
They gave away invites. You had to pay for them.
Yeah, you still had to pay for them. That's right. Yeah. But the day after they ended that 14-day period where you could actually give invites, they turned around and said, well, you know, if you want a pair anyway, you know, come and fill out this form. So the Glass Explorer program is now available. It's over on google.com/Glass, and that'll take you there. We'll have a link in the show notes, of course. And of course, you can go through, put in your name and stuff like that. You still have to pay for them. You still have to be a U.S. resident. And when a spot opens up, they'll say, hey, you know, get $1,500 together. You're going to get yours. The only saving grace, the only cool thing that you get to do that I didn't get to do, is they're going to mail you the glass instead of you having to travel somewhere. You can still go to their offices in San Francisco or LA or New York, but now you have that other option if you're not in that area. It would have saved me something like $700 if that was the case, but that's neither here nor there. So, but that's the Glass Explorer program. How did you give away all three of your invites there, Luke?
Yeah, I sent them out to some people I knew, and actually a few guys at work that I work with were able to get them. They had other friends as well, and so some of them got it. And yeah, they got them shipped really quick, and people showed up, or you know, people basically have been playing with them more at work. So it definitely seems like this slate black is definitely the most popular color around the office.
Oh, really? Okay. So you actually got to see the new version, the version 2 of Google Glass.
Yeah, it looks the same. I didn't take a real close look at it, looking like comparing them side by side or anything. But yeah, it basically looks the same. I'm guessing there's hardware differences for that earbud.
Yeah, but no other functionality. You know, no other extra screens or anything like that showing up inside of the version 2.
Not that I noticed, not because of the new hardware. Now, there was that new software that got released.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that's the segue?
Yeah, that was a segue.
That was the segue.
No, but there were new screens available to all Glass users. in our next story, XE11.
Well, actually, it's not our next story, but we'll switch over to that one. So basically, Google announced, announced on Tuesday, I believe it was, that XE11 had been released, newer way. And the big thing was the Google Music, hooking up with Google Play for the music a little bit more. Have you played with that yet, Luke?
I haven't played with that. One of the other guys said that he tried it out, and he said it worked pretty good, even though it's basically kind of a, I wouldn't say hacked version, but he basically pulled Google Play Music off of his phone device and put it onto his glass and was able to, you know, get around enough to be able to select a track and find a station, you know, find a all access radio and start listening to it that way. Okay. And he said it was okay. But obviously that's not really the final Google Play Music, that's going to be on Glass.
Okay. Well, and some other things, the home and work directions, this is actually pretty cool. This is, it remembers where your home is. And so you can go, you can say, okay, Glass, take me home. Of course you need to have it tethered to your device to do that. I tried to do it via Wi-Fi. It would not do that via Wi-Fi. And then the personalized calendar search, which is pretty cool. It gives you more to the calendar, so you don't have to pull out your phone to see if you've got a 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock. Because before, I think it just had one thing pop up, and then you were pretty much in the dark on the calendar. So, go ahead.
I got to see that in practice right after the update. I was actually traveling down to San Antonio, and it actually pulled my reservations from the hotels that I was staying at out of my Gmail, which I have turned on for Google Now, and it actually was showing those in my Glass as well. So it was showing me, hey, here's your check-in, and you could tap through and actually call the hotel right from there, and it, you know, would basically set up the call, and it showed my schedule of like, hey, on Friday you're staying here, on Saturday you're staying here, on Sunday you're staying here. So it was pretty handy to see that. So it wasn't even stuff off of my calendar, technically. It was stuff off of my email that it had associated with the date. So it's kind of building a calendar for me from everything.
So it basically said, you got to join this hangout at 3 o'clock and this hangout at 4 o'clock and this hangout at 5 o'clock about basket weaving, which you didn't even want to, but you know, it just happened to put it in your calendar.
You know, those people, if you leave them, you know, one time, they just, they'll bug you forever about it. So you got to make sure you're always on time to their
meetings. No, this is a Google thing. You get an invite to an event, a hangout event. And then even if you don't say yes, no, or maybe, it puts it in your calendar.
Yeah, I've had varying experience with that. It seems like sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. I can't figure out what the difference is.
Okay. Well, it does for me almost every single time. And so, you know, if there was a hangout happening at the top of the hour here, I would have been pinged from my Glass, from all three of my computers and two of my phones. And it's like, I didn't even sign up for this. So take it off my calendar. And it's the most, but you know, that aside, let's keep going. A couple other things that the XE11 can do. That's a new Glass setup. So if you reset your Glass or you get a brand new pair, it doesn't go through. Before, what would happen is you'd actually go to a web page and you create a QR code with your personal information, which would then push to the Glass, which then would then set it up. Apparently, there's a new way to do that now. I'm not sure because I haven't factory resetted my Glass. Did you see this setup process at all?
No, I haven't reset mine either. Try that out. It's something I'll need to do.
Okay.
I guess that's what that's like.
And then the other thing is the shortcut to screencast. You can start a screencast underneath the My Glass notification in the notification drawer, and you'll be able to see what's on your Glass display from your phone's screen. So, and once again, you need to have that tethered to your phone to do that. So, haven't done that either. I'm assuming, Luke, you haven't done that either.
No, it's right here. I can see it. And so there's a notification that I've got, an ongoing notification that has My Glass. I don't know if you guys can see that, but there's a little button underneath it that says start screencast. And so if you tap that action button on the notification, it basically starts up the screencast. Let me wake up my glass and see. And so
wake up your little glass.
Now it's basically showing my glass on my phone.
Is that a Nexus 5?
No, it's a Nexus 4, actually. Oh, okay. So it's showing 76ers are beating the Mavericks and all that kind of good stuff. So, but yeah, so it's like a really quick way to screencast, which is actually kind of convenient now because it's a lot fewer taps. Before, you had to go into the app and, you know, make a couple of taps in there.
Well, I guess, I suppose, because I've always shown it through that way. Because the best part about it is, ever since XC10, you could actually use the screen to swipe and tap.
Yeah.
It actually goes both ways then, so you can control it from the device.
Yeah.
See. You can actually drag, and it's dragging the screen on the device itself. And so, yeah.
And it's pretty cool, because if I was up on stage, in fact, when I did my presentation at UW-Platteville, it did that same. I was able to do that and show them through the phone how that worked. So that was pretty cool. So, but anyway, that's basically the XE11. It's been out for about a week now, and so let us know what you guys think of XE11. Is there anybody that's got the version 2 glass? If there's any added features that you've found so far that happened, let us know. Jeff at twig.tv, Luke at twig.tv. And we'll go from there. Let's move on from there. Speaking of glass, I think there's another feature that happened, and we were debating this right before the show, because when I was in Anaheim, California, I took a video through glass, I did a couple things through glass, and although now I'm thinking about it, the Disneyland ride when I did Radiator Springs, it was pretty good on the stabilization. But this video right here, I just took last Tuesday. I was in a Ford vehicle, Ford Mustang 2014, and I set up all my cameras. As you can see, there's a camera underneath the rearview mirror, and a friend's got a camera right behind me, and I'm taking a drive in the Ford Mustang 2014. And let's fast forward this a little bit. As I'm driving the streets of Tucson, Arizona, and there's no stabilization involved. This is straight up. I copied it from glass straight up to YouTube, and I'm pretty impressed with the video. And it makes me think that they did do some work on the stabilization in the versions of XC11. You just saw me look at the Ford representative and go back. So, and we were talking about that. Luke, you think it's because I was sitting down, right?
Yeah, I think it might just be the car having a real good, you know, real smooth suspension or something. But I don't know. It's definitely possible for that kind of stuff to be done in software. So it's hard to say. But it looked really good. I was really impressed by that video. That you took.
I was too. I was really happy with what it came up with. And I not only did I use it in that video, but then I actually made a full video with, you know, music and all that other good stuff. And I put it up there, and then I did a split screen. The camera that was pointed at me underneath the rearview mirror, I had me in the corner, and then, of course, you got to see me with glass driving the street. And it was very impressive. I was very happy with that through glass. So I've been doing a lot more of that. I also have a video now that the FAA has let us use electronic devices. I've actually been doing takeoffs and landings at airports. So, and you can find that over at my profile. Let me pull it up here. I've actually taken my YouTube and put it in at attached it to Google Plus, which means that I needed to create a new YouTube for my regular channel. So, excuse me, that's where it is right now. And here it is right here, the full page. So you see the landing, Madison, Wisconsin, at night. It's not much to look at. It's just a bunch of lights. But, you know, some people have been watching it and pretty intrigued on that. And then, of course, takeoff in Minneapolis and then landing in Tucson, Arizona. I'll do more as we go along. They're fun videos. And the only problem is you kind of got to really stretch your neck to the side to not get the window in or anything like that. So. Have you been doing any videos that you don't normally would have expected to have done before, or are you planning anything like that?
Great segue. I did shoot a quick video last week. I was coming home one night and the highway got completely backed up, sat still on one of the major highways around here for like 10 or 15 minutes, not moving at all. And it turns out a car had caught on fire. And so I grabbed a quick video as they started to let traffic get around it. So I had my glass and I started recording. And so I got a quick video of going kind of through the final barricade and tried to get a quick glance at the car that was off to the side still smoking. So and glass is just great for things like that, where it's just, hey, I want to start taking a video, you know, just 2 seconds from now. You know, getting out your phone and taking it, like, no matter how quick and easy it is, it's like it always takes a little bit longer than just reaching up and hitting that button. So
that's true. We're seeing it right now. Okay. You guys are on the highway there, and of course, see the cop lights come up. Let's see if we can get to the car that's on fire.
Yeah, it's the last like 10, 15 seconds of that. So
yeah, and there you start moving again. It's a little bit hard to see because there's so many cop lights and then the fire.
Yeah, they had a lot of cop cars there for this one smoking car. So, but you know, I guess better safe than sorry. So yeah.
And there it is, there's the fire truck, and that was pretty much it. So
it was
pretty cool. I mean, when I saw it, I was like, wow, that's awesome. And you know, you never know, that could be something that you could then send to your local news, and then mm-hmm. next thing you know, your stuff is up on local news. So just as long as it's not distracting, and that's the thing. And of course, we can't condone anybody to be using your Google Glass while you're driving your car. But you know, if you get any cool pictures like that, let us know.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's move on from there. If you want to check that out, go over to Luke's profile. Of course, if you want to check out the Ford video, you can check out my new profile on YouTube. Of course, it's my main plus.google.com/+JeffreyPowers. So, all right, let's move on from there. We're going over to the Seattle Times. We've talked about surgeons and doctors wearing Google Glass before, but apparently this is the first time that it happened. Harborview surgeon is actually test driving the Google Glass in the operating room. And, you know, we talked with Kathy Brown, what was it, like 2 or 3 weeks ago about that. And the one thing that was talked about was the main surgeon couldn't have that much going on because it'd be way too distracting. So I kind of said, well, then they'd have to have an assistant there with Google Glass on going through the steps. The surgeon actually did wear it during there and connected up to show some other people what they were doing. And that's pretty cool. So is this, do you think that this is going to be a new start to the way that surgeons use technology inside the operating theater?
I think it's definitely something that they'll experiment with. You know, if it ends up being too much of a distraction, I think they'll, you know, they may say no, or it may be something that, yeah, they have an assistant bring in a pair of Google Glass and kind of put them on the surgeon during that time. But, you know, it could easily be something that they use, especially during maybe something they expect could be complicated. I would guess that, you know, if it's the 100th, you know, procedure of that kind that the surgeon's done, they're probably not going to need to call in any backup. But if it's something relatively new or challenging, or, you know, it's only the second or third time they've done it and, you know, there could be complications, I could definitely see this kind of, you know, phone a friend aspect of it to oversimplify it. But, you know, to be able to ask, you know, another surgeon, hey, what do you think of what I'm looking at? Instead of just having to kind of, well, you know, let's make a good guess based on what I think. It's like, you know, being able to have somebody, no matter where they are in the world, being able to give you some feedback, it would be very, very helpful.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So, well, we'll see what happens. We'll see how they react. Of course, Kathy said that a lot of doctors had the first questions that they were asking was, when can I get a pair myself?
Yeah.
So that's pretty promising. As long as we find that it's not a distracting thing, and that's the key right there. because that causes problems. So, but if you want to read more on that, we got a link over at Seattle Times. Of course, we'll link it in the show notes as well. Let's move on from there. Google Glass, did I turn that? Okay. Google Glass prescription models are coming in January, but you have a report, Luke, that that's not the case. There's a third-party company doing that. What's going on?
Yeah. Yeah. Just a quick article I found there. And yeah, like everything else, it'll be in the show notes if you want to read it yourself. But basically, a third-party company, I believe it's Rochester Optical, basically is good at this kind of custom, you know, frame building. They have kind of their own fabrication labs and stuff. And, you know, this isn't your local lens crafters where they basically have lenses that all kind of fit a certain shape and then a whole bunch of frames for that, those certain shapes where they just kind of pair up, you know, lenses with frames. You know, this is something where they're actually doing the fabrication. And so they're saying, you know, this isn't that complicated of a piece of hardware. We can make frames that will connect to this or whatever, and you'll be able to use your glass as is. And they even said that they might be able to do it so that the glass could be the Google Glass could be removed from the glasses so that you could wear the frames with or without Google Glass, which would make it a lot more appealing to someone like me who might want to wear it with glass, but might want to take glass off if you're, you know, in a sensitive place or, you know, someplace that maybe is banded or, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Want to be able to remove it. So it's a real interesting idea. But yeah, they're not really affiliated with Google. It sounds like, you know, according to the article, that maybe some of the reports from earlier had said that they were actually partnered with Google, and they said they're not. But it's, you know, it's just, a piece of hardware that attaches to glasses. And so they're going to be able to make something for it. And they're, sounds like maybe as early as January is kind of what they're thinking for making this available to the public, which would be pretty quick. If Google's going to do something, if they wait too much longer, it'll just, you know, this other company will probably handle it.
Well, I'm guessing that it's going to be more than just that other company. This is not proprietary stuff. If you know how to make that, it's all about that middle tab, the thing that actually holds the glasses to the pair of glass, or if you want to have your pair of glass get taken apart so the frames, so the unit can actually sit onto a pair of prescription frames, then, and in that case, you're actually voiding the warranty. But the other way to do it is to have somebody make a glass lens that is shaped similar to the shades and then has that little tab in between that puts it in there. So, and in fact, 2 weeks ago when we talked about the prescription lenses, somebody already did do that. They went through LensCrafters and found a third-party company, but I can't remember the name of that company that did that. So I'm guessing that this will become a regular thing, because there's one thing that I don't like about Google Glass, and I'll say it right now. When you put the shades on, they look like a pair of 1988 Oakleys. And it's like, we're not in the 80s anymore. We're in, 2013 here. So I'm hoping, because I've been actually thinking about doing it myself, trying, finding another pair of shades and then finding a way to actually attach it to my Google Glass. So it look, kind of like a, it would be cool. This kind of references the 80s as well. But, you had the Cosby Show and you had that other show where Lisa Bonet actually went to this, to the university. And you had the one guy that had the shades and they flipped over like that and he had regular glasses on. I want those. I think that would be cooler than the Oakley look that we had or have.
Mm-hmm.
So
I like the idea of flipping up where they kind of flip up out of the way.
Exactly. Yeah. Or the better one where they had, so was it CSI Miami, where the guy had his glasses where he just it had like a magnet in the middle so he could just go like that and put them down.
Yeah.
So that would be kind of cool. I don't know if I'm ready to cut the middle of my pair of glass. Of course, I got to get a new pair of glass because this is version 1, not version 2. So maybe I could do that with this one. Okay. Well, anyway, let's move on from there. If you want to read more on that, you go over to TheVerge.com. We have a couple articles from The Verge now. I'm looking at it. But we're going to start here. We've got two more articles that we're going to talk about. This one I read about last week. I was really impressed on. And It still has some work to do on it, but it is pretty sweet. It's called Glassination. Now, get this. You can actually, you got to use a PPTX. So you got to use PowerPoint, was it 2010 and beyond, Office 2010, because you have to have a PPTX file. But you upload the PPTX file. You use this Glassination. I already have it on my glass. And of course, the presentation can't get too crazy. But it's not going to show the whole presentation. It's going to show parts of the presentation and any notes that you put into your presentation. And then it's going to show that in glass. So if you're giving a PowerPoint presentation, you can have your pair of Google Glass. It doesn't forward slides or anything like that. So you still have to have the clicker, but you can actually forward the slides and see what they're seeing and know what you're going from there. Now, my other idea for an app was to actually turn this into a teleprompter. And I kind of been keeping the lowdown on that, but in all reality, I'm just not going to make an app like that. So I'm putting the challenge out to anybody, and that includes you, Luke. If you want to make a teleprompter, let me know, and I'd love to test it. I'd love to try it out. When I'm standing up and giving a presentation in front of the masses, I'd love to be one of the first to try this out and see if that works. So that's a kind of a throw out to you, Luke, but I know you've got a lot of things in the hopper yourself, so you probably won't be able to get to that.
Yeah. I would say it'd be really neat if you could take something like a Google Drive presentation, document. Basically, you can do presentations with Google Drive or Google Docs, whatever you want to call it. And it'd be really neat if you could somehow have your notes in your presentation sent to your glass. So as you progress the slides for your presentation, the notes for that slide would come up on your glass, as a little alert. Yeah. That would be kind of that teleprompter aspect of it. So.
Well, Glassination does, that's what it does do, is it gives you those notes. As long as they're not like 50-page notes, you'll be able to read it. So, but with the teleprompter, there's actual apps out there that I can turn my tablet into a prompter or my PC into a prompter or a teleprompter. And, because sometimes you see those instructions on how to make a teleprompter for a camera, and you take a monitor and you flip it on its side, and then you take a piece of glass or a piece of plexiglass, and then it does a reflective thing so the camera will shoot through it. So it's the same process here, except now it's just the teleprompter is going through your glass. So then you want the next page, you just swipe like that. If you want to go back, you swipe back. If you want it to do a scroll, you hit the tap and it'll just scroll along or whatnot. But either way, then you're not looking down at your notes. Like when I did my presentation, it was the first time I did, so I was looking at my iPad a lot and I was doing a lot of that. But now I can do a lot of this and nobody, and half the audience wouldn't know because they're not close enough to see my eyes that well. So,
yeah.
But anyway, it's called Glassination. It's pretty cool. If you've got a pair of Google Glass, give it a try and see what you think. Let us know about it. You can email me at jeff@twig.tv or luke@twig.tv if you don't want to email me. Email us both because, we like to email.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's move on from there. We got last article. We're back over at The Verge. The first company that's cashing in on Google Glass. What is that, Luke?
So it's called The Fancy, and it's basically kind of a shopping guide for, I don't know if you'd call it the upper class, but definitely for like higher end clothes and accessories and that kind of thing. It sounds like they're kind of a recommendation engine. I personally don't use them. My clothes, although they may look fancy, are not actually, hundreds of dollars for a t-shirt. So, but they're basically trying to capture that market of take a picture of something and get a recommendation very specially tailored to either find out what that item is that you took a picture of, or get that item plus some related items of, oh wow, if you love that shirt or that dress, here's where you can buy it, and here's some accessories that could go along with it. And what it seems like to me, again, the article didn't go into a lot of detail, but I would guess what it is as they make recommendations, basically they get a small cut if you actually buy any of those things through their website.
Yeah.
A very common model, you know, a great way for a lot of companies to do business, basically provide that expertise of what you should get.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're basically doing that, but just providing another way for people to connect with them so they don't have to take the picture with your cell phone and then go search their website and do all that. It's just like, click the button, tell me what this is, you know, and then they can say, oh yeah, here's, you know, maybe you don't need the response right away, but you can at least gather the information very quickly and get it off to the experts right away.
Yeah. So you can, and you can also find out, not only, well, in this app, probably not so much, but, you know, if you took a picture, you can find out where you can go and get a pair of those shoes or that purse or something like, 'cause I did that last week. I was going, where can I get that purse? I saw a cool looking purse. Where can I get that purse? I want it. Get it to
me
now.
It's a very common problem for you and me both.
Yeah. And trying to find pumps in my size, it's just horrible.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So no, I like this idea. It doesn't fall under the augmented reality thing that they're talking about avoiding, where, mm-hmm. you know, you take a picture of somebody's face and says, oh, that's Joe Schmo. And he lives over at this address and he's got three kids or whatnot. They don't want that type of stuff. But with this, it's interactive and it gives you a little bit more. And once again, you still need to tether it, or you still need to be on Wi-Fi before you can use any apps like that.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty interesting stuff. I can't wait to see what other apps come out similar to that. And go from there. So, all right. Well, that does bring us to the end of the articles. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about, Luke, this week?
No, I think I'm good. I'm excited to see kind of what's coming next, and hopefully we get our invites to turn in our version ones and get the new version twos. I think it'd be cool if we got both the monopod and the stereo headphones with our pairs, because I would like to try out the music listening. I think that could be a really nice thing for, you know, at work or something where you just want to be able to listen and not have to, you know, have to have another device hooked up somewhere.
Yeah.
Basically something you're just always wearing. So.
I'd run with it, but I'd probably sweat on it and break another pair. So it's not going to happen.
Well,
so.
The version 2 might hold up better. We don't really know exactly.
Now that you mention it, I do remember one more thing. I actually did get the invite. I really wish I could have went to San Francisco to do this, but tomorrow or Wednesday? Let me see. Yeah, it'll be Wednesday, the 20th. Google is going to do something with the GDK. They've got a big event on Wednesday. And I'm guessing, and help me out here, Luke, is this where they're going to finally give us a GDK for Google Glass?
That's how the invitation reads to me. Basically, they're going to be unveiling the official GDK, and it's going to be, I forget if they called it a hackathon or just a working session, where basically they were going to have Google Glass engineers there to work with you on developing apps using the GDK. So we'll probably see the GDK launch this week, if not the same day as, you know, that event, maybe a day or two, you know, kind of after the event, you know, after they've made sure that it's fairly solid and, you know, there's no quick fixes they need to do for the install or whatever. Okay. I'm sure they've done a lot of testing on it, but yeah, I mean, it's been, see, since June, so, you know, 5-6 months almost since we heard about this thing. So yeah, people are waiting and chomping at the bit for it. So that's the impression I got, because they may have said it's about the GDK.
Okay.
Who knows what else they might announce as part of that.
Well, I'm guessing that it's going to be the GDK one developer kit to rule them all. For the Chrome, so the Chromecast will probably get access, and Google Glass will probably get access, and you'll probably get access to the Nexus 4, or I'm sorry, the Nexus 5 and the Nexus 7, and any other devices that have Chrome as the basis around it. So, exciting. What's that?
Yeah, we'll have to see. I don't know. I mean, there's not sure. They've been a little quiet on it, but they definitely said it was about Glass and. I know GDK was in there, so
yeah.
Hopefully that means that it's launching this week, and this isn't just a kind of a preview for a few select people.
Okay.
I'm not going to be able to go to that either this week, so.
That's too bad. Well, if it is GDK, we will be talking about it all next week. And of course, if you are going to the event and you have the scoops, let us know. You can come on the show and talk about it with us, and we'll get it from there. We'll watch for people that are there, and hopefully we'll get some firsthand accounts on that. But then, of course, that's what we'll be talking about next week and go from there. So anyway, let's wrap it up for this week in Google Glass for this week, I believe, episode number 23. Thanks a lot for watching. My name is Jeffrey Powers. You can find me over at Geekazine, geekazine.com. Twitter handle, Geekazine. Of course, Jeff at twig.tv with two Gs. And Luke?
Yeah, Luke Wallace. You can find me on Twitter at Luke Luca. You can also find me on Google Plus at google.com/plus. That's the symbol plus. Luke Wallace, and that'll take you to my Google Plus profile with all my through glass pictures, and of course, Luke at twig.tv, that's twigg.tv, this week in Google Glass.tv.
And so, we do have a Google Plus page, this week in Google Glass, which is plus this week in Google Glass, just like that. And of course, you can go there and check out all the posts there as well as twig.tv. So, all right. Well, that does it for this week of Twig. My name is Jeffrey Powers with Luke. Thanks a lot for watching. Thanks a lot for listening. We will see you next week when there'll be another This Week in Google Glass. So you guys take care.